That's why you gotta kill the shit, you going crazy.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Earth Mac, the Mad Scientist. Hope you guys are having an awesome Tuesday morning. Of course, and Detroit Blues absence, because, you know, she's away for the next couple days or so. I hope you guys enjoy yesterday morning's episode of the Orange Phoenix Morning Show. Considering the fact that we talked about Mortal Kombat and we talked about Falcon and Winter Soldier and we was chomping at the bit, waiting patiently to talk about Mortal Kombat and Falcon and Winter Soldier. And we talked about it in full splendor. But I understand that maybe the conversation got a little, I wouldn't say heated or anything of that nature. But it was very intense, man, because I feel like with the Mortal Kombat movie, as far as reviews goes, it was split down the middle. You know, you had certain half of people that completely trashed the movie. And you got the other half of people that actually enjoyed the movie for what it was. And, of course, you know, I put out some points out in regards to Cole being a brand new character. He's not into video games at all. And everybody else is are pretty much Mortal Kombat characters. Certain Easter eggs you got to look for and stuff like that. I mean, you don't really have to look that hard. You really don't have to look that hard for those Easter eggs. But I will say I do understand the other side of the spectrum when people was completely trashing the movie. The thing is with the geek culture or the nerd culture or whatever you put us in a box as, we are very critical when it comes to these type of movies, right? So we kind of nitpick a little bit, sometimes too much, and sometimes it can be a little toxic, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like if you take Cole out the picture and you put maybe Johnny Cage in there, Johnny Cage wouldn't have shined as much because Kano pretty much took over the movie, if you really, really think about it. Kano really took over the movie. Like, he had the most personality out of anybody in that movie. Like, the most. So, when you put Johnny Cage in there, it probably would have been too much. And also, if you're teasing another movie or a sequel or whatever, you need something big. You need something or someone that will grab your attention for the next movie. Like, oh, snap, I got to watch the next movie. And Johnny Cage is that person. I don't think Katana would have garnered that much attention. I don't think Shao Kahn would have would have garnered that much attention, considering the fact there's a tease for Shao Kahn. It'd have been too predictable, if you will. But if you put Johnny Cage in there, everybody want to see Johnny Cage. You know, we already seen Reptile. Ermac won't get that much. Rain wouldn't really get that much attention. But you need somebody to grab that attention. So with that being said, you know, I do understand the trash this movie sentiment. I do get it. Because let's be real here. I do have a list of movies, fighting game movies, that is worse than what you think Mortal Kombat is. I'm like, oh yeah, Mortal Kombat's trash. Like, oh no. We came a long, long way for fighting game movies. A long way. And I do have the list right here in front of me. And we're gonna go over some of those. But before we jump into that, I will tell you that a little bit of wrestling news. I know we didn't cover this yesterday, that Kenny Omega is trying to be All Belts Kenny. All Belts Kenny. He is the AEW World Champion. He's the AAA Champion. And he wrestled Rich Swann at Impact Rebellion, which is the Impact. They got a partnership with Impact Wrestling or TNA. Depends on what you want to look at it as. And Rich Swann is the Impact Heavyweight Champion and also the TNA Champion. They combined the championships, right? So it was a title for title type match, and the winner was going to win a title. So here's the thing with me. You know, Impact Wrestling is low tier. And I don't think Impact Wrestling has any belts right now. With exception of the X Division title or whatever the case may be. But I'm like, I don't know how we're going to actually put that out there, right? So my thought process is have Rich Swann actually win the AEW World Championship temporarily, because at that point you put the spotlight on Impact Wrestling. You got more eyes on the product, because if you compare Impact and AEW, they're not the same. AEW is the bigger company. AEW is in direct competition with WWE. You know, I'm not saying they're like on WCW Nitro status yet. I wouldn't say that, but they are garnering averaging maybe 1.1, 1.2 million viewers every week now that NXT is moving to Tuesday nights. So they got at least the number two or number one spot in cable. But Impact is trying to get to that point, right? So I would think, you know, have Rich Swann win and do a rematch on AEW Dynamite and have Kenny win the title back. You know what I'm saying? That would have been easy. That would have been easy. Easy stuff. But see, you know, for those from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you got people buzzing. You got people talking about Impact Wrestling. Who is this guy that beat Kenny Omega? Probably billed as the best wrestler in the world. So that was just my thought process on it. But of course, Kenny Omega won. Now you got no belts. You got no belts. So I don't know if Rich Swann was to go to AEW and challenge Kenny Omega again. And then at that point on national television, you have him beat Kenny Omega and win your Impact Championship back. Now that would actually be pretty dope. That would be a pretty dope setup though, because now you're on national television. You're on cable television. Now you got this dude that wrestles for Impact and TNA, and you have him beat Kenny Omega on national television. Hey, that might work better. I know you got pay-per-view buy rates, because pay-per-view buy rates went up once you got Kenny Omega in there. A lot of people bought that pay-per-view just to see that main event match. So you got the buys. So maybe Rich will win on Wednesday. Maybe there will be a match on Wednesday. Who knows? Now this coming from a Kenny Omega fan. Like, this is coming from a Kenny Omega fan. Like, I love Kenny Omega, man, and I see him actually slowing down his wrestling. You know, he wrestling high spot style. He actually wrestling. He did hardcore matches. You know, to call yourself the best wrestler in the world or the best performer in the world, you have to do like certain matches to put yourself in that spot. And that's exactly what he's doing. So I understand what the Kenny Omega aspect of it is. So that, hey, no doubt about it. I'm cool with it. I accept it. It took me a day to actually accept that moveset. But I just understand wrestling. I know a lot of wrestling fans out there understand the wrestling aspect of things as far as storyline or how things move. Because when you go from back in the day, Ric Flair was the world heavyweight champion. But when he used to go to Japan, sometimes he used to drop the title in Japan to a Japanese wrestler. And that kept the people going like, yo, who is this person that beat the legendary Ric Flair? And then like maybe 24-48 hours later, Ric Flair wins the title once again. Like he'll win it again in that 24-48 hours. But we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes as far as storyline goes. Hopefully Rich Swann will actually win and come back, because now you got Impact with no belts. You have Impact Wrestling with no belts. Why am I watching Impact Wrestling and there's no titles? There's no champs. Especially the world champ. Come on, man. I don't know. Bad booking. But I have the terrible fighting game movies here. And because I know you guys trashed, some of you guys trashed Mortal Kombat. But trust me, there are worse. So, first movie is, and you probably never heard of it, Samurai Showdown. Samurai Showdown is a video game that was on Neo Geo. And those of us that not rich, you know, the Neo Geo was like maybe $600-700 for the system. And each game was the same price as a Super Nintendo or a Sega Genesis from back in the day. So, yes. Now, Samurai Showdown did port it over to Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo. So, you probably had the pleasure of actually playing Samurai Showdown. But according to fanbite.com, when evaluating these films, I examine several criteria. Is this faithful to the source material? If not, does the film reimagine the fiction in an interesting way? Are the fight scenes solid? Is it watchable by a normal human? The kind of person that would let a thought like I should pitch a fighting game movie ranking dissipate in the void of their brain? So Samurai Showdown fails in every last one of these respects. Showdown opens with the end of all things as a holy warriors fall to a traitor in their ranks. At the last moment, their souls are whisked away into ether, sent forward in time to be reborn 100 years later, with the intent to overthrow the evil Ambrosia and the traitor Amakusa. So I did have a chance to actually watch this movie. It's okay. It's not that bad. But sometimes when it comes to anime, and like especially like old 90s anime, sometimes it doesn't age well. And there are certain movies that just seems just put together. And yeah, that's the best I can tell you, is that for Samurai Showdown, it's an acquired taste. It is an acquired taste. So moving on to the next one is The King of Fighters. This movie came out in 2010. So they incorporated a virtual world. So basically, longtime protagonist Mai Shiranui, Maggie Q, enters a seemingly virtual world to compete in the King of Fighters tournament. And she soon learns after a mishap at a museum opening that this virtual world is an alternate dimension containing the mystical evil Orochi. This grants ultimate by corrupting power, and a fighter named Rugal is hell-bent on mastering it, recruiting her love interest Iori and despondent clan descendant Kyo Okayo. They venture to stop Rugal from unleashing the power of Orochi. So... Looking at this setup quickly falls away as the movie descends into all of the falterings of any Hollywood adaptation of a video game. Rugal is reduced to a fourth wall breaking villain whose character sheet will just include words like wacky, zany, crass, scrawled in crayon. Vice and Mature, a pair of female fighters in a relationship, are two badasses reduced to titillation and blackmail, and brainwashed by Rugal forcing a kiss on them. That is not the storyline of King of Fighters. I understand you try to reimagine. That movie is terrible. Please do not watch King of Fighters. First of all, you missed me with the virtual world. You didn't need the virtual world. You didn't even need to put that in there. But that's trash. The next movie up is Tekken. Yes, there was a Tekken movie, but this one is Tekken 2, Kazuya's Revenge. So Tekken 2 attempts to erase that dynamic by establishing a sympathetic origin story for Kazuya, a character who rapes and then attempts to murder mother of his child. So there's a lot of heavy lifting ahead. So yeah, I don't need to go back into Tekken, because please do not watch that movie. The next movie I have watched, and I'm disappointed that I actually watched this movie, it is Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. Please, for the love of God, do not ever in your life watch this movie. No, please. Chun-Li is a concert pianist who learned Wushu martial arts from her father, a businessman abducted during her childhood by an organization called Shadaloo, which is actually real in the Street Fighter lore. Shadaloo is led by a character called M. Bison, but who couldn't possibly be that Al-Qaeda villain, right? This version is both Irish for some reason and somehow not the most outlandish adaptation in film history. Anyway, Chun-Li gets the lead on Shadaloo and heads off to find a supposed Bison guy. So the side story is mostly your traditional Chun-Li versus Bison story for revenge, but it's periphery that really takes some leaps. A gaunt Chris Klein plays Charlie Nash, an Interpol agent who sparks up an affair with Detective Maya Suni as they trail after both Bison and Chun-Li, who trains under Gen. Now, Gen is also an actual Street Fighter character, and it is said Gen was one of the only fighters out there that actually fought Akuma and won. Now, the story rapidly oscillates between the horrible acting of Klein and a comical rose gallery backing Irish Bison, including Michael Clark Duncan as an admittedly inspired choice for Balrog, and a Black Eyed Peas Taboo as a less inspired choice to play Vega. Yeah, don't watch this movie. I mean, if you want, I take it back. If you really want a good laugh, and if you're in one of the states in the nation that is legalized marijuana, it's probably a good movie to watch high. I'm just saying. But that is not the way. There is a Tekken, the motion picture. Now, looking at this, Tekken is also an obvious choice on an attempt to cash in on the popularity of Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, which in fact is possibly one of the best animated adaptations of a fighting game. Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, was phenomenal. It is awesome. It showcased everybody to the best of their ability over the course of maybe an hour and a half or 2 hour movie. The best fight scene, obviously, is Chun-Li and Vega. If you have not watched Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, that movie is phenomenal. Great. A masterpiece. You have to have that movie in your library. It is better than the John by a mile. It is better than Street Fighter, the movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Even though that movie is my guilty pleasure, I'm not afraid to admit. Another movie is my guilty pleasure, but it's also on this list, is Double Dragon. So, Double Dragon is set in a dystopian, futuristic New Angeles, ravaged by earthquakes, floods, nuclear fallout. Brothers Jimmy and Billy Lee, which are actual characters, fumble their way into protecting one half of the titular Double Dragon amulet from the owner of its other half, Koga Shuko. Shuko, which is played by Robert Patrick. If you know who Robert Patrick is, just think Liquidator and Terminator 2. He's a T-1000. He's a T-1000 model. He's the liquid guy. Gleefully gnaws on the scenery of every shot as a business mogul who only adopts Shuko's name over his real moniker, Victor. Most of the fighting is well below par compared to other films, often relying on Home Alone antics and gags instead of actual combat as a martial arts movie. It really lacks, but as an action comedy, it's fascinating time capsule. Marion is played by Alyssa Milano. So this movie is not all the way bad. It's okay. Again, it's my guilty pleasure. Double Dragon is definitely my guilty pleasure. And Tekken has showed up on many occasions on this list, but we're going to skip through. Oh, yes. Speaking of Mortal Kombat, this ranks as number 10. And it is called Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Some of us have had the, I wouldn't even say the honor or the privilege, but the disdain and just terrible nightmares of this movie. Now, this movie takes place directly after the first Mortal Kombat that came out in 95, which was very successful, by the way. As a PG-13 movie, this Mortal Kombat, the original, was very, very successful. The fighting was awesome. The dialogue was awesome. So it's a really good deal. So they've tried to follow up with a sequel, right? Directly following the first movie. Expectations were already high for this film. So it's a huge disappointment when the opening scene revealed two starring characters, Sonya Blade and Raiden, were recast. Like right off the bat. While a third, Johnny Cage, was immediately killed. So attempting to adapt the story of Mortal Kombat 3, Shao Kahn invades Earthrealm thanks to the resurrection of his dead wife, Sindel, and the Earthrealm fighters are forced to regroup and bolster their numbers for the coming battle. Annihilation mainly suffers from the glut as it tries to cram too much into too little time, introducing multiple ninja, including the brothers of Dead Sub-Zero, as well as Jade, Sindel, Motaro, Ermac, Shiva, Shinnok, Shao Kahn, and Nightwolf. It's hard to track why all these characters are on screen. James Remar doesn't have the same it factor as Christopher Lambert, Raiden, and a lot of major plot points revolve around characters just moving from one fight to the next. Now, it lacks a lot of charm, natural charisma of the original. Few of the fight scenes are as memorable as either, especially the questionable inclusion of the ultimately meaningless Animalities. Yes, they tried it. They tried Animalities. Now, if you ever played Mortal Kombat 3, you get to turn into an animal and perform a fatality. That's what Animalities are. Now, although the resulting CGI is hilarious, Annihilation simply lacks in comparison, unable to live up to the ever-present specter of its predecessor. Now, some of us have seen this movie. Never again. Nah, we're not going to do that. Number 9, it's surprising because I actually have this movie under my television. I have all the Fatal Fury movies, but Fatal Fury is up there. So Terry Bogard is front and center, flirting with love interest Suya while they search for the armor pieces for her brother Lao Karn. Goddamus is gathering. If he gets them all, he'll be consumed and become the avatar of Mars. Now, what it says was, what ultimately holds Fatal Fury back are some of the more tired storytelling tropes, as Suya's strong story arc in the first half gets shunted into a damsel role in the back half, ultimately resulting in a literal repeat of a motivational story beat for Terry. If you have to constantly imprison or kill your female love interest to keep a protagonist motivated, you should really seek new inspiration. The final battle is also little anticlimactic thanks to those beats. The journey ends up being a lot better than the destination, but Fatal Fury at least manages to craft a new story in an existing world without losing the charms of its source material. So at best, it's okay. There's also the Street Fighter 4 animated series, a movie. Don't watch it. Now, number 7, again, this is my guilty pleasure, Street Fighter of 1994. The result is Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia trying to out-ham each other in a camp fest you simply cannot recreate. Its story is a haphazard mess with characters like Sagat and Dalzim used to fill time, while Charlie Nash somehow becomes Blanca thanks to a clockwork orange machine. It is a glorious, beautiful mess that I love in spite of itself. I'm the same way. It is easy to assess that Street Fighter is not a good movie nor a good adaptation of his game, but is it enjoyable? Yes, remarkably so. This is the perfect stuff of a bad movie night where you gather some friends and beers and riff on a cheesy awfulness, laughing the whole time. Let me leave you with one last clip to convince you of this. Guile's speech to his troops after he's been told to pack up his operation and leave Bison to conquer a nation. Please do not try to convince me that anything but brilliant. You will fail. You will fail. Like, a lot of people don't know with the Jean-Claude Van Damme Street Fighter is that this was Raul Julia's last movie. He actually pushed through cancer while he played a role of Bison, because he knew his kids loved Street Fighter so much because he wanted to do this movie for them. And you could never tell that he had like cancer to the highest order because it was really killing him. But he actually powered through. His acting is phenomenal. Raw Julia has always been a phenomenal actor. You know him in Adam's Family. He was the father in Adam's Family. That is Raw Julia through and through. And also, did you know that Jean-Claude Van Damme was probably high the whole entire time? He was on cocaine the whole time of this movie. And on top of that, he had an affair with the young lady that played Cammy. This movie was a dumpster fire of a mess as far as production is concerned. But again, this is my guilty pleasure. I love Street Fighter. Sometimes if I don't find anything to watch before I go to sleep, I'll turn on Street Fighter. And that's it. Guilty pleasure. Guilty pleasure. Next movie up is number four is DOA, Dead or Alive. Those of us that have played Dead or Alive fighting game, this game is something I have played in place of Tekken. Because I have played Tekken up until 3. And then when I played Dead or Alive, I was completely enamored with the game because you can reverse moves. You can knock people through walls, up against the wall. It made you feel like you was in an actual fight. It didn't feel like it was staged. Like it felt organic for some odd reason. And that's why I love Dead or Alive. So I had Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive 2, Dead or Alive 3. I had those games. And then it tried to make a movie. So yeah. So really think about it. What would be a real honest Dead or Alive movie be like? A bunch of martial arts action with an interspersed moments of innuendo, comedy, caricature, and volleyball sequence. That is exactly what this movie is. Following Christy, Tina, and Kasumi's entrance into the Dead or Alive fighting contest on a secluded island, each brings their own reason for attending, which quickly fall to a wayside in favor of action, comedy, and gratuitous fan service. Yet, it has a surprising amount of heart. One scene in particular set the fan bite discord ablaze. There's a running joke where wrestler Tina winds up caught in the compromising positions with other female contestants in front of her dad, Bass, played by former real-world pro wrestler Kevin Nash. Bass, embarrassed but open acceptance of these moments, sell the movie as camp with the heart. Like, he's the Kiryu Kazuma of DOA. Now, it all culminates in an absurd plan masterminded by bad guy Victor Donovan, a pair of sunglasses, that's right, sunglasses, that somehow grant superior martial arts prowess. Meanwhile, a nerd hacks his way off the island into the heart of Helena Douglas. Even the ending is a complete non sequitur, with the four female leads holding a katana ready to fight a horde of ninja while they playfully banter about which ones are cute. This is a DOA despite some liberties taken with the story and manages to be enjoyably watchable as a result. So if you ever watched Charlie's Angels from back in the day, you take DOA as the fighting game because it's a female-led cast. Honestly and truly, DOA is another guilty pleasure of mine. I don't know why I'm a glutton for this. So, but anyway, if you ever play DOA, it does have that outrageous kind of comedy to it. I will say watch it. Just give it a shot. If you like Charlie's Angels from back in the day, then it definitely takes a page out of their book. And you can definitely see why. Like, immediately, you will see why. And, of course, they put Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, as number two. Fan bite, I don't know what it is. So, according to Fanbyte, they struggled over the top two placing. Honestly, either one of these next films could take it on any given day. So, let's talk about one of the films that kicked off this adaptation frenzy, Street Fighter 2. So, it says, Street Fighter 2 features a bevy of the game's world warriors jetting around trying to stop Bison's plan to become an ultra-powerful fighter by observing the world's finest in street combat. The plot moves along just fine, but it's delineated enough to give every character a room to breathe. They'll develop a life of their own. Ryu, Ken, Guile, Chun-Li, even the smaller characters get their own spotlights. Now, there are the fight scenes. Street Fighter 2 has incredible animation as punches and kicks flow, clap without any stop frames or seizure-inducing highlights. The Chun-Li versus Vega fight is iconic in its own way, but bouts like Ken versus Bison on top of the latter's massive helicopter are also wonderfully done. Street Fighter II was so well received that it started a minor movement. Animated efforts for games like Tekken, Battle Arena, Toshinden, and Fatal Fury stem directly from this earlier movie. Many of them even pay strange homage to it by recreating the Chun-Li shower scene. I'm not kidding. Most of the movies on this list have scenes eerily reminiscent of it. The English dub adds just a touch of camp as well by replacing a solid Japanese soundtrack with American grunge that was popular at the time. At one point, Ken is cruising in his convertible, loudly blasting Alice in Chains, Them Bones. It's just fantastic. Now, that's how I was introduced to Alice in Chains, as a rock band. I was like, yo, this is actually a decent band. So I started, you know, trying to research Alice in Chains, and I just fell in love with the band. So this is the movie that became a blueprint for many to come. None could ever replicate it. Street Fighter II, a prequel in a sense to the game, was so popular it even became a basis for the Alpha sub-series in terms of design and storytelling. So what could top that? So it was saying a list of worst movies, right? So I'm thinking they was going to trash this, but it didn't trash it. So rightfully so, they gave Street Fighter II, the animated series or movie, its due. But number one movie is Mortal Kombat. And Fanbyte was trying to differentiate the two, which one is the number one. So he says, I want to start with the pinch-perfect casting. Every character in this movie is wonderfully performed, to the point that one portrayal, Kerry Tagawa as Shang Tsung, has, as Mortal Kombat 11, become the canon version of said character. Christopher Lambert's Raiden also gets a special shout-out as a version of the character radically different from the game, yet equally enthralling. He captures the disassociated Thunder God extremely well with a touch of self-aware swarm. Now, there are so many good things about Mortal Kombat. It tells its story at a brisk pace, balancing fantasy elements with the grounded Sonya Blade and Johnny Cage. It introduces big bads for the protagonists to fight early, establishes their power, and then provides satisfying conclusions to their arcs. For a movie made over two decades ago, the only painfully dated part is the 90s CGI used to animate Reptile. Even then, it works just fine as such a minor element. Is it campy? Hell yeah, it is. But it also finds some heart in Robin Show's Liu Kang. And speaking of Robin Show, Robin Show is actually in the Dead or Alive movie. That's right. So if you go to Dead or Alive, you will see Liu Kang himself in there. And in the growth of Lyndon Ashby's Johnny Cage over time, add in that incredible theme song, which the directors and producers had the clarity of mind to simply let rock during the introduction and again throughout the movie, you have the perfect blend of cheese, heart, and video game and movie. While Street Fighter II came to define early adaptations of the genre, Mortal Kombat turned back around to change the source material itself. A lot of the nostalgia for Mortal Kombat that exists today can be traced back to this film. From the theme song, to the fights against characters like Scorpion or Goro, to the brilliant casting in 2019, Mortal Kombat is still perfectly watchable and best of its kind. I am inclined to agree with this. The 1995 version of Mortal Kombat is great. It is great. And Mortal Kombat is actually on the wheel list for movie night. So hopefully when we spin the wheel, it will land on this. Hopefully. But yeah, I'm glad you guys was able to hang out on this Taco Tuesday. I hope you guys go out and get your tacos today. I got my tacos last week, so I'm actually good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to La Publé or Publix. I'm going to get me some salad. And I'm going to go ahead and make me some lamb chops along with some salad. Because I have talked to Queen and, you know, eating a little bit more healthy, trying to avoid the rice and the pasta, you know, stuff like that. So I'm going to try some salad, rabbit food, if you will. So I'm gonna jump in on that. But yeah, do not forget to check out our magazine, Orange Phoenix Magazine. Listen, the May cover of Orange Phoenix Magazine is coming at you, and I guarantee you, you will like it. Shout out to the artist in Brazil. He had I had the honor and the pleasure of actually talking to him. So this artist put his art on the front cover, the May edition of the Orange Phoenix Magazine, which will be released on May the 1st. So you need guys to check that out. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. Do not forget to join our Facebook community page. I'm sorry, Orange Phoenix Geek Corner. I will spin the wheel today, and I will tell you guys what will be the next movie, which I will try midweek movie, and see how the attendance will turn out. Also, do not forget to follow us on Instagram at Orange Phoenix Media. And also, do not forget to subscribe to our Twitch streaming channel, twitch.tv/Orange Phoenix TV. I do apologize for canceling on yesterday at 7 p.m. Something came up. However, we will be streaming tonight at 7 p.m. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. We are ready to stream for you guys. And we already got some games of choice. You hear me? You already got some games of choice. So we're definitely going to be jumping into that as well at 7 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. And we will be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with some more geekdom goodness. I hope you guys have an awesome, awesome day, an awesome Taco Tuesday. Thank you for hanging out with me today. See you guys tonight at 7 p.m. on Twitch. And also see you guys tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Till next time. Peace out.